It's Sal Capaccio.
Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio.
On WGR.
Unprecedented. That's what this is. Sal Capaccio being a part of Buffalo Bills Football Monday, at least on the evening show. Those morning guys bleed them dry every week. I know that. And then Sal, of course, does his own extra point show from 10 to noon. But we usually don't fit Sal in, but, you know, Mike's off, so I figured, what the hell. Hi, Sal. How are you, bud?
Good, man. All it took was to get Mike the hell out of the studio for you to have me on a Monday, huh?
Yeah, I guess that's it. Yeah. I mean, there's no use.
How it is.
There's no use avoiding it. I mean, that's really what it is.
Guy hogs all the airtime, man.
Yeah, you're right. I know. Fantasy football this and
football no
that.
Kidding, right?
Oh, my God. So, look, man, I know you were on a lot today. I've not heard any of it, and I apologize for that. I really walked away from that game yesterday impressed by Allen's decision making, even though he only completed 50% of the passes he threw. Like I liked him for the first time. I would say it this way, Sal. I can sort of see what they could be if they upgrade their line in a couple of spots and get another couple of guys to play out wide for him. Like to have him stand there in the pocket and make throws. Like it looked pretty good yesterday.
Yeah, you know, so my day ends at 4. You go on the air. I'm down in the locker room. I'm interviewing players. Then I have a couple TV things I need to do. I go up. I do some work. By the time I get in the car, you're not done with your show, but it's probably usually around 5:30.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm very interested usually in what you're saying about the game. I want to know what you thought about his game because, you know, I have my own thoughts, and I'm curious what other people thought. When I got in the car yesterday, I heard you say that I thought you thought it was his best game overall.
Yep.
You know, and he made progress. And, you know, I think if you're watching him on a weekly basis, Bulldog, and you're really just judging his growth from week to week, you see some of the things he's doing, he's not doing, and situational type of football, I think you have to come away with at least close to that, if not that. I mean, Miami might have been his best game. I don't know, but I could say this. I thought he was good yesterday. I thought he did a lot of nice things. I thought he took another step. There were lots of things that wound up happening in that game that contributed to certain circumstances. What spoke volumes to me was that they trusted him with 3 minutes left in the fourth quarter to make a tough pass to keep the drive going to Jason Kroom. I specifically asked Sean McDermott today, you probably heard it, you guys were hearing it live. I said, would that have been something you did, you know, to start the year with Josh Allen? And he said, you know, I don't want to say if I would or wouldn't, but it's certainly you have to earn that trust. And I think he's earning the trust, and we can all see why, right? Because he is making those throws. He made some throws in the first half into some really tight windows. And he gunned it in there, gave his guy a chance to catch the ball. He wasn't perfect all day. He made a couple of decisions that probably he'd want back. He made a couple balls, threw a couple balls that weren't completely pinpoint accurate. And then he had a couple real nice floaters towards the end of the game. Robert Foster touchdown, the Jason Kroom one. So I agree with you for a lot of reasons. I thought it was a really good game yesterday.
Both plays that he missed or that were dropped, I don't know, I guess it depends on your point of view. In the fourth quarter, back-to-back plays. I think they were back-to-back plays, or at least the same drive.
I think so.
Deontay Thompson and then Zay Jones. Like, I don't know. I guess I can be pretty hair-splitting here, but there's a difference between could have made the catch and should have made the catch. And I wouldn't say on either play that the receiver should have made the catch, but I certainly think they could have. Like, guys make that play for their quarterbacks in both cases. They're good plays, maybe even great plays. But guys come down with those balls, and I thought, you know, they could have been more well thrown, of course. A better ball is an easy catch instead of a really good, difficult catch. But I think he could have had a much better-looking day if his receivers helped him out a little bit on those.
Yeah, or if he doesn't get a pass interference at the goal line. I mean, that's a 40, 50-yard pass that adds to his total, plus maybe a touchdown if the kid that got beat by Robert Foster doesn't reach out and grab his arm. I mean, it was a tiny, tiny bit underthrown, but in a spot where the DB certainly wasn't going to get it, and Robert Foster very well could have had it. Foster also made another catch just as he was going out of bounds on a deep ball. You know, like, here's the thing. On the Zay one, probably should have been lower. Maybe could have been caught, but Josh has got to put that in a better spot. There's no doubt. On the Deontay Thompson one, I need to go back. I'm actually, it's might be the first play I look at when I look at all 22 tomorrow, because from the field, I was down in that end when that happened. I was on that side, and I had a thought to my mind. I'm like, well, I don't know if Josh threw that a little bit too much in the middle of the field and Deontay was running kind of down the hashes, or if maybe Deontay should have gone to the middle of the field. I couldn't tell. You know, that could be on either of them. There might have been that Deontay was supposed to go to the middle of the field a little earlier because Josh may have been throwing it away from the DB,
right,
because Deontay had the DB on his back, you know, behind him.
Yeah.
So that would be where you want to lay that ball. So there's always factors. I just asked, you were talking with Kyle Williams while Brian Daboll was down with the media, and basically I asked him about completion percentage, and I said, you know, do we make too much of it? Do fans make too much of it? We hear about it all the time, and yeah, he just said, like, look, there's so many things that go into that. You know, how many he's being pressured, making good and bad decisions. Some throwaways are good. Some throwaways are a poor decision. Some are, you know, a good decision. Receivers helping him, as you said. There's so many things that go into that number. So I think there's so many different ways that you can try and parse that.
I had a weird afternoon at the stadium. Mike was off. Howard wasn't there. I don't know if he was at the stadium and just somewhere else, but he wasn't near me like he usually is. Paul was off. Like, I was sort of all by my lonesome. My row where I sit, there was no one sitting there. So I didn't have a lot of conversation going on during the game.
People listening right now are like, why didn't you invite me, man?
I know, right? I mean, I could have had my whole family there. But there was some scuttlebutt in around the press box on that Thompson play that would sort of agree. It was at least pondering what you're suggesting, like that he didn't take the right line to the ball.
Yeah, because look, I mean, in that situation, you want to throw it away from the defender, right? Yeah, you want to throw it to your guy, but you want to throw it away from the defender. And when he released it, Deontay wasn't looking yet. I looked. He, like I said, it was kind of in line with me. I just happened to be right there.
Yeah.
When he released it, I looked at Deontay. Deontay had his head down. He was running straight. By the time he looked up, then he had to move towards the middle of the field. And my thought is, I think Josh Allen threw it to the spot maybe he was supposed to, and Deontay didn't quite get there and break it off a little bit to the middle yet. So there are so many things, you know, that go into that. So I don't know, you know, completion percentage, accuracy, all of those things we want to talk about. I just know that when I watch this kid play, I think he's making plays and he's making throws that a lot of people told me that he would not be able to do, especially 9 games into his NFL career.
Well, right. I think that's the thing about yesterday. It's been because of circumstances, mostly pass protection, that, you know, he's not had the opportunity afforded to him to stand in the pocket and go through progressions. It's been a lot of one read stuff and like predetermined, which, you know, I like. That's just fine too. I mean, everybody in the league that's successful is doing some of that anyways. So, you know, there's all kinds of different throws. What we haven't seen prior to yesterday, really, at least for the majority of any game, was Allen given the kind of protection that allows him to stand in the pocket and go 1, 2, 3. Okay, there. I like that. I'm going to go there. Like, that happened yesterday numerous times.
Yep.
And I mean, I don't know, maybe on more plays yesterday than it had in his previous 8 starts. I really, it was that pronounced. I thought they just did a great job, or the Lions were just that lacking in getting pressure. He really had a lot of time to survey yesterday.
I think it was by design for Detroit. You know, there was a reason coming in. We had heard that they gave up, you know, the fewest rushing yards to quarterbacks in the league. Matt Patricia comes from that Bill Belichick system where we've seen what they've done to Tyrod Taylor, right? They've made Tyrod Taylor beat him from the pocket in a few times that they've played. He really couldn't, you know, get off with his legs. And I think Matt Patricia kind of had the same game plan. You could see that they were dropping more guys in coverage. So, you know, he had to find windows. But you go back to, there were a couple of throws late in the first quarter, then early second quarter, where he threw the ball in between 2 or 3 defenders and really kind of put it low. If you remember, like, low, the guys had to go down to grab. But that was because he was putting it in a spot where his guy could get it. So I thought he surveyed the situation well. Still a couple times, to be critical on the other side, still a couple times I thought that he kind of took off when there was one rusher on him instead of maybe hanging in there and stepping up in the pocket or something like that. And that caused the throwaway. But throwaways don't have to be bad. He threw one away against the Jets that got picked off. He threw one away against Green Bay that got picked off. This is all the maturation process of Josh Allen right now.
Sal Capaccio on the Western Hotline with me here, part of Buffalo Bills Football Monday, at least for this week anyway. And Sal's appearance is brought to you by Outlet Liquor. Need to stock up. Shop New York's only Outlet Liquor. In the last little while here, we heard a soundbite from Lorenzo Alexander. I had Kyle Williams on a little while ago and didn't get around to asking him this and didn't even feel really right to ask him because there's games left this year. But, man, both of those guys at this point in their careers – I would welcome them back next year. I wonder what is going to happen with both of them.
I do, too. I'm pretty sure Lorenzo wants to play. I know that he was on One Bills Live last week, and he mentioned that, you know, he thinks he's got one more year left in him, that he'd like to get out there. I know I've talked with him, and he has indicated that, you know, he thinks that he can still play. But it is something that you want to wait until the end of the season, sit down with your family, and see where they're at. You know, he has children that are getting older that he'd like to spend time with. That's always a factor. You know, what does his wife think about everything? But I'll say this. Lorenzo Alexander is playing at a Pro Bowl type of level this year, so much so that I think he's earned another contract from the Bills. I don't care what age he is. If he was 29 years old playing the way he is, I'd be on the radio every day saying, you got to resign this guy. That's the way he's playing right now. So I think that's the case. The fact that he's 35 and the fact that, you know, I don't think he's interested in necessarily uprooting his family once again, you know, if he doesn't have to, I think lends itself to, hey, if the Bills really want him back, they should be able to work out the numbers. Now, Kyle might be a little bit trickier here. They've gone out and they've upgraded on the defensive line. They've drafted guys like Harrison Phillips. They've signed guys like Jordan Phillips, although I think he's a free agent at the end of the year.
Yeah.
They signed Star Lotulelei. Kyle Williams is a very important player on this team. He's also a guy that I think that if you didn't have on the team, they would do what they could to make do and move on without him. I'm not saying they should, but I think that the way the team is constructed, Lorenzo seems like he's a more important piece as far as a hole that you would have to fill, if that makes sense, at linebacker than Kyle Williams. But Kyle Williams, I think he's earned the right too, if he wants to come back, to work that out. As long as the money works out, which you don't want to have to go and pay him so much that it restricts you elsewhere, of course.
Right. What do you suppose running back looks like next week? Were McCoy and Ivory like game time decisions, as you know it, Sal, or were they ruled out before game time?
Well, according to Schefter and Rappaport, they both had two different reports. One said that McCoy was a game-time decision, Ivory was out. One said Ivory was a game-time decision, McCoy was out. I don't know which one of those was accurate, if either were, but I'll say this. When I went down on the field, both of them came out early with the guys who were not going to play. It wasn't like it didn't seem like to me they were testing anything. They were out with the inactive guys, basically. They were working with a trainer. I think when they showed up, when they came out early Sunday, it was had already been kind of determined by whomever that they were not going to play in that game.
All right, Sal, thanks for squeezing us in here on a Sunday, or on a Monday, excuse me, the one time all year I asked you. I appreciate it very much.
And no problem. To answer your question, by the way, I think if LeSean and Chris Ivory are healthy, that, you know, they'll probably play against the New England Patriots.
Right.
I don't think they sit out just because they want to look at the other guys. It's going to be, you know, their health is going to come first, and if they can play, they'll play.
All right, buddy, thanks again.
You're welcome.
We'll talk to you later in the week. Media Day Wednesday. We'll get Sal on then. He's got some vacation coming up at the end of this week, too. So I think Wednesday will be the lone visit with Sal this week. All right. Buffalo Bills Football Monday continues. We'll get you a conversation with Kyle Williams as well as head coach Sean McDermott when we continue. And then a small version of the nightcap heading for Monday Night Football, Panthers and Saints tonight. That's up next on WGR.
You're listening to Buffalo Bills Football Monday on the home of the Bills, WGR Sports Radio 550. Now, Kyle Williams joins Shope and the Bulldog. Brought to you by Northwest Bank. Make the switch to Northwest Bank and get back to living. By Northtown Automotive. Sales, service, and selection to the nth degree. That's Northtown. By Computer Search Payroll Services. Buffalo's payroll service with Buffalo prices. And by Arthur Pressman, Western New York's traffic attorney. Your TicketToJustice.com.
All right, here we go. Kyle Williams is on the West Hur Hotline with me. I am the Bulldog. Mike Shope has the day off today. Good afternoon, Kyle. How are you?
What's happening? Doing well.
I think I've never talked to you about what the hours after a game are like. What is your night like last night? Is it different at all because the Sabres are playing? I know you really like the Sabres. The Sabres are playing like right after you guys. What's a typical night after a game like for you?
Well, you know, if we have friends and family in town, you know, we typically reserve a reservation and go downtown and, you know, and have dinner, and then I'll come home and watch the Sunday night game and try to get a little bit of rest because, you know, whether you like it or not, work starts all over again on Monday, and we got a whole new team and a lot of different things going on. So typically, you know, we got people in, we'll go grab dinner and enjoy the night together, and then we'll head home, you know, at a reasonable time.
And that's pretty regular that there would be at least someone in town that you would want to go out and do some entertaining with?
Oh, yeah. Most of the time we're going to have people in town for all the home games.
Right. And does that get altered at all depending on the result of the game, or are you, like, past that stage of your career where you're able to leave it in the locker room and just go enjoy your friends and family regardless?
No, you know, we typically stay with the same routine. You know, I'll go and spend time with my friends and family. You know, they've made the effort to come up here and come see me play. We'll kind of get together. Obviously, sometimes it takes a little longer to get the mood exactly right. But, you know, sometimes it depends on my body. You know, if I do something where, you know, maybe I'm banged up a little bit, I say, hey, guys, listen, I just need to go and relax at the house. We can order some food in and bring it here. But, you know, I always try to be a good host whenever possible.
Well, that's good. So there's not an opportunity for you to be sulking if it doesn't go the way you want it to go.
Well, you know, I can sulk in my own way. I can just be a little bit quiet. I don't have to outwardly let it go. But
right.
It's something that, like I said, we have people coming from across the country come and see us. You know, we try to show them what we're so proud of, and, you know, obviously that's Buffalo and how fun of a place it is to be.
Yeah, that's awesome. And not that there would have been any sulking yesterday, of course. It was a win, and a hard-fought win at that. I heard Arcel Capaccio on this morning making the point, and his perspective being on the sideline and being in the locker room with you guys after games is, of course, different than mine. I'm watching from, you know, up on the press box level and then, you know, just talking to you guys or to you and to your coach like this on Mondays. But with the number of injuries and the number of new players who had to play key roles yesterday, like, does that make a win like yesterday even more rewarding than just if you've got your whole team and you just, you know, go and roll like you planned?
Well, I think it's extremely rewarding no matter what. What I think it does more than anything is it gives a lot of people an opportunity to kind of see what the makeup of the team is. You know, it could be very easily used as a crutch or as an excuse. Oh, this amount of guys are hurt. This guy's a rookie. This guy's this. This guy's that. And really, our group of guys says, hey, you know what? These guys work with us. They grind with us, and we're going to go out there and we're going to win no matter what. It's got to be next man up. And just a tough, resilient group of guys. They're a lot of fun to be around. And, you know, obviously, you know, especially for a lot of those young guys, to be able to win those hard-fought games, you know, the last couple of weeks where we feel like we had the game teed up and we let it get away from us, learning how to win is huge for them. It's going to serve them well, you know, moving forward.
Yeah, you got to feel for, like, Marcus Murphy gets an opportunity. He's going to split carries with Keith Ford and dislocates his elbow. And, like, I don't know if this is something that you guys – just have to deal with because it comes with the territory. It's one of the hazards of the job. But, like, I'm watching him walk off the field, and then eventually they say he's out with this injury, and I'm thinking, like, this guy might have been looking at this as an opportunity to, like, make a name for himself and get a job either with the Bills or somewhere else next year, and now his season's over.
Sure. You know, you obviously feel sorry or feel bad for, you know, guys like that when that happens, because especially him. I mean, how well he played in the preseason, how hard he works, and, you know, to get a full-fledged opportunity, you know, and to get injured like that is always a tough break. But I think he's mentally tough, and he'll let you know that I knew what I was getting into when I started playing this game, and he'll come back from it stronger. It's not something that's gonna end him, and, you know, I look forward to him coming back stronger than ever.
I would think a guy like Ford getting his first NFL action and then being the only running back left, that there's got to be a lot going on there. And I would think adrenaline can get you only so far. Like, I would think at some point the guy would just be like, I'm tired. I'm actually physically tired. Like, this is awesome. I'm playing running back in the NFL today, but, like, man, I could use a rest.
Yeah, and I think that goes for everybody. I mean, you know, whether you've done it or not, there's points during the game you're like, hey, you know what? I need a break. You know, I need to catch a blow here. I need to get somebody in here that's fresh and ready to go. And luckily we got a guy like Pat DeMarco that can step in there and run the football. He knows everything, the ins and outs of the offense, and he knows everything that's going on in that backfield. So he's a guy that's invaluable as well.
I think I heard somewhere today that was his third carry of his career. Like, could that be right?
I mean, I would have gone on the over on that, but you never know.
I mean, that means that you've got exactly two fewer carries than a guy who's played fullback in the league for, I don't know, he's been in the league a while. Four carries, my producer's telling me, Joe's saying four. So he's got three more carries than you. Was that your only one last year in Miami?
He had a nice run. What he gained, 7, 8, 9 yards?
Yeah, he did. Yeah, that's right. All you did was fall into the end zone.
Pat's kind of putting me in the dust on the yardage there, but no, like I said, I mean, you know, a guy like that can step in there that really doesn't play that position, but he's such a pro, he's such a great teammate. He knows the different positions all in his room, so he can help guys, and he can step in a moment like that and pick it up for us. That's a really, like I said earlier, it's a true look into our locker room and the guys that we have in there.
Kyle Williams on the Wester Hotline with me. I am the Bulldog. This is WGR. So the first half, the Lions, they scored 13 points in the second quarter. Kenny Golladay kind of got off there with over 100 yards in the first half. And then you guys pitched a shutout in the second half. I think it was 5 punts and a missed field goal, if I've got it right. What did you do anything differently in the second half, or was it just the way the game went?
No, it's just kind of the way the game went. I think in the first half especially, a lot of their chunk plays were, you know, 50-50 balls where, you know, we had some pressure on him. He ran out of the pocket and basically threw a ball up. I mean, you know, we almost had a pick on one of those. It gets wrestled away. And when we went into halftime, we really just talked about, hey, we're in position. There's no reason to do anything differently. Let's make our one or two adjustments, and let's just make the play when it's there to be made. And we were able to do that in the second half. Tackled well. We're able to get off the field in some key situations, and like I said, come home with a win is always good.
So 2 weeks in a row with no sacks. How much concern do you or your teammates or the coaching staff have about that?
It's more about affecting the quarterback. You know, I know that's such a sexy stat. Everybody looks at it and does those things, but you know, if you're getting a guy, a pocket passer like Stafford off his spot, making him scramble, you're hitting him, you're doing some different things. You know, there's a lot of good things going on. The difference in, you know, pressuring and no pressure and a sack and not one is very, very small. So, you know, we're gonna play as hard as we can. And, you know, when those things come, they come. Other than that, our job is to affect that guy in by whatever means necessary.
Do you ever have any sense of whether the opposing quarterback, I guess you could say this about any player, but I guess I think more about the quarterback. He's got the ball on every play, at least for a time until he hands it off, if it's not a passing play, is struggling with his health at all. There were reports all week that he was limited in practice with a back injury, and that's not like an outwardly that obvious injury necessarily. I wonder if you got any sense just being around him while you were, you know, trying to tackle him, whether you sensed that he was hindered at all by an injury.
No, he looked like he was moving around pretty well. I think that's kind of generally where you go. You know, a guy with an arm injury that plays quarterback, you would definitely notice that,
right,
with how he's throwing the ball. But, you know, a guy with a back injury, you would think, wouldn't be able to move around that well. And I thought that, you know, he moved around well. He escaped the pocket a few times, tried to make some plays with his feet. I mean, he didn't look like he was have any huge injury going on. But, you know, at this time of year, quarterback or not, any position, you know, it's a pretty everybody's kind of got aspirin and Band-Aid taped to them pretty good this time of year, just trying to figure out a way to get ready for Sunday.
There's a pretty big story in this game about the fourth down decisions, especially at the end. Sean McDermott decides to have Josh Allen sneak it on fourth and inches, and that allows you guys to ice the game. There's a fourth and two earlier in the game down in easy field goal range. Easy for me to say, but I think you're at the 14-yard line, and he went for it and didn't make it. I wonder how do you view fourth downs? In one sense, going for it near midfield, which is what the situation was at the end of the game, is, you know, the risk is turning the ball over there. And it, in a certain way, it's saying I've got faith in my defense to take care of this. But also, you're also symbolizing that faith by kicking it down deep and making them go the full field on your defense. How do you generally view fourth downs, Kyle?
Well, I guess it's situational. You know, what the situation dictates. You know, down there in the red zone, or, you know, was it the first half, fourth and two?
No, it was in the third quarter, that one.
Okay, it was in the third quarter. You know, so, you know, down there, you get down in there, you know, that's obviously you're looking at the clock, you know, and think there's plenty of time, but you got an opportunity to kind of extend, you know, make a big play there. I think at the end of the game, that was kind of, as soon as we found it short, we knew we were going for it. I mean, obviously, when you got a big, strong quarterback like Josh is, you know, picking up a foot on a sneak is something that, you know, we should definitely be able to do. And I think that everybody felt that. I think we all knew what was about to happen. I think the Lions knew what was about to happen. But when you got a guy that's 6'5", 245 pounds, it's tough to keep him from picking up a foot on just a snap and reaching the football out.
Right. And I read somewhere, maybe The Athletic, I think, had some account of him going to the sidelines and, like, just insisting on give me the blank and ball. Can you confirm that for us? Were you close to any of that or no?
No, I wasn't close to any of that. But, I mean, I think that the general rule on the sideline was, you know, especially the guys that were standing around, especially a lot of defensive guys were like, put that big joker in there and run a sneak. Let's go for it. Let's win the game right here, you know, right. Because nobody knows better than we do. Like, okay, they've got a quarterback that's, you know, he's a huge guy. You know, how are we supposed to keep him from picking this foot up? You know, it's really, really difficult. So we get a better look at knowing that how difficult it is to stop that. So we're standing there like, hey, this is nearly impossible to stop. Let's pick this up and let's just ice the game right here. And, you know, obviously Sean made the call. Josh made it happen. And it was an offensive line obviously made it happen. And good win.
And on to the Patriots this week.
Yep, on the Patriots going to New England.
Well, good luck with that. Have a great week. And it's just dawning on me here as this conversation's winding down. I'm off the next two Mondays. Next Monday's Christmas Eve. And then or is it Christmas Eve? Yeah, Christmas Eve. So I'm not going to be around to talk to you again. So, like, I don't know what your schedule is going to be like with those days, New Year's Eve and Christmas Eve, but I know I'm off both days. So if you're doing the show those days, I won't be here. So Merry Christmas and Happy New Year. And, you know, I hope we're doing this again next year, man.
Yeah, well, same to you. Have a great Christmas and New Year, and we'll talk soon.
Our thanks, as always, to Kyle Williams. Coming up next, head coach Sean McDermott here on Buffalo Bills Football Monday on WGO. Buffalo Bills Football Monday continues. Joining us now on the Wester Hotline is the head coach, Sean McDermott. What is the night after a game like for you? Are you a leave me alone, I need to stew? Does it depend on the results? I don't know. You seem to prioritize family, so I would guess you wouldn't want to sacrifice any opportunity to be with them. What's a night like after a game?
Yeah, I like to go home and certainly spend time with the family. You know, when I don't have to think about the game, you know, all week leading up to the game, you know, I'm with the family at times, but when I'm there, you know, I try and be there, but the game is not too far from my mind. So after the game, especially when you get the result that you're looking for, it's nice to just go home and take a deep breath and just relax and enjoy maybe the afternoon game or the nighttime game.
Right. And yesterday, I would imagine, would have been a pretty fulfilling day. That was a hard-fought game with a lot of depth players pushed into more prominent roles than, you know, I mean, I know I was looking at my depth chart. Who's that guy? As that game was unfolding. I'm sure you know them all. Is that kind of a game? Like, it's different. Is it more rewarding in a certain way because the depth of your roster is severely tested?
Well, it is. And it's nice to see that we've got some young players that hadn't played before yesterday, that did play yesterday, that, you know, have a chance. And I think that's the best we can say right now with the guys that played. When you looked at the number of undrafted, you know, rookies that played, really, that saw their first action, Corey Thompson, Mike Love, You know, Keith Ford was out there. Ike Bucker was out there. Ike had been out there a series or two before. But for the most part, those four really saw their first playing time of the season. And then you add that to the mix of the rookies we already had playing, and then the second-year players that just joined us last season, and there's a ton of young guys out there. And it's really fun to watch them develop. It's fun to watch them gel together as a cohesive football team and start to build these relationships that hopefully will last a number of years.
We saw Pat DeMarco get a carry. We looked it up. It's his fourth carry of his career. So, like, what is that, like one every other year, basically, at this point for him? So, like, that was one plan. And I guess, I don't know, if something would have happened to Ford, what is it? Is it Isaiah McKenzie or Ray McLeod? Like, what do you do at running back?
Yeah, you know, I thought the offense did a nice job. We knew going into the game that we were going to be a little bit light at running back, and the offensive staff did a real good job of trying to have a contingency plan ready to go if that would have happened. So without getting too much into strategy, they were on top of it, and you know, I thought Keith did a good job, and then Pat, as you mentioned, came in and gave us a little bit of a breather for Keith at that point.
Right. I would imagine that guy, Ford, would be, like, adrenaline would be really pumping. It's first NFL action. But also, at some point, there would be some fatigue. Like, suddenly, I'm the only running back on the team. Like, that's a lot for him to carry.
Yeah, I mean, Keith was out there, and I think he carried the ball two or three times in a row, and he started to tap, which meant he wanted to come out of the game. And I think I was maybe one of the few that saw him tap, and then Coach Dable called another run, and then after that he just sprinted off the field. He wasn't going to give us even a chance to that he'd be able to be out there again. So that's where Pat DeMarco ran on the field, and then we ran it again, and Pat, you know, really almost went the distance, I thought.
right. Yeah, no, it was like an 8 or 9 yard run. I mean, it was nice.
Yeah, it was good. I felt good for him.
Yeah, I don't know. Ford's tapping to come out. You're like, get back out there. You have to stay out there.
Right. Yeah. No, he was pretty tired, but he had a good day, and I thought our offensive line and that on that particular drive did a good job, and that was good to see.
One other thing on the injuries, it's not that often that you see the cart come out and take a player off and then see that player back out there, and that's what happened with Isaiah McKenzie yesterday. That foot was taped up pretty heavily. Do we know, I missed the very beginning of your comments about injuries, do we know his status?
Yeah, he just cramped up a little bit. We gave him some of the magic potion, and then he came back out and reappeared.
Okay,
kind of like a Harry Potter type of thing. You know? So, and then he makes a big catch, you know, later on in the game. So, hopefully, that can happen to all of our guys that go in on a cart. They can come back out.
Yeah, I mean, that's some heavy duty cramping for the cart to be involved. I mean, that's hardcore. Sean McDermott on the West Hur Hotline with me here on WGR. So Josh Allen's game, I felt, if it means anything to you, like it was his most impressive game because from the pocket, I thought, and this is without having looked at tape or anything, obviously, or the All-22, there was an opportunity for him to stand in there and go through reads, and that is not afforded, has not been afforded to him that often because of pass pressure a lot. But you guys did a great job of letting him stand in there. Did I see that right? It felt like he was reading a lot more than he's had an opportunity to.
No, I believe he was, and you're right. You know, he did have some time, more so than he's had in the weeks prior, and when you can keep giving the quarterback that amount of time to stand in the pocket, that's usually a good thing, and it allows the young quarterback, in this case, as you mentioned, to go through his reads and get the ball where it needs to be thrown to, and if it wasn't there, he was able to check it down a couple of times. I think he hit Keith Ford in the flat for a 7 or 8 yard gain there also, and so that was nice to see.
There, obviously you'd like to afford your quarterback that kind of time week in and week out. I would imagine going into games, sometimes you might, you know, be worried that it's not going to be possible because of the talent on the other side, or maybe just how things are falling together for you up front on your own team. Did you anticipate going into this game that they would drop a lot of people into coverage and not come after you that aggressively? Josh mentioned a spy. I'm wondering if you were prepared to have him have more time than he's had other games.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of twofold, I think, you know, with respect to what the way they play, you'll see, and that's kind of New England system a little bit, where they'll drop some guys into coverage and only rush three at times, and there's other times where they'll rush a consistent five and play man. They did spy Josh, and so I think they probably just, and that's a better question for them, but probably just tried to mix it up, and so I thought Josh did a good job with it, and was able to read the coverage and obviously hit some key passes for us at key moments of the game.
Yeah, I like that spy idea. Like, not that I don't enjoy him running, but his standing in the pocket, like, to me, like, that's ultimately what I think we'll be gauging whether this is going to work or not, is how he progresses making plays from the pocket. And I was really encouraged seeing him do that yesterday. So I hope everybody else you play spies, because I think that worked out well for you guys.
Yeah, it did. I mean, you're right. That's a key part of his development, is being able to throw from the pocket and in the drop back game. And excuse me, that's really what the game comes down to. At some point in an NFL game, especially a big game, you're going to have to win the game in the dropback game with red zone or third down or two-minute type style offense, and I thought Josh did a good job of that yesterday.
Your fourth down decisions yesterday, you punted from there 36. That would have been a very long field goal, obviously, and it was a long – it was like a long, long fourth and, what, 15 or something? I think it was a long
right.
situation, but still, you're at the 36. You went for a fourth and two from deep in their territory, right? Was that like the 14? And then the decision at the end to try to ice the game by having Josh sneak it, and that was successful. I don't know. Can you take me through all three of those if you can?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, I'll take you through the ones that worked out. How about that?
Well, I don't know.
I'll take you through all three of them. The first one,
did that work out? Because
the first one, well, it didn't, because we tried to play field position there.
Yeah.
You know, I knew Steven coming off of the game he had the week before with the hit that he took, and he kind of had he didn't practice a lot this past week, and so I wanted to, in an ideal situation, his first kick to be one that was more manageable, and so I decided to punt right there and wanted to try and pin him deep. We didn't quite come up with that. That's an area we have to continue to work on. And then we went for it, to your point, on that fourth and two down there. Felt like, you know, we were down six, felt like we had a legitimate chance for a touchdown and points to go ahead, and feel good about our offense, the way we've been moving the football in the last several weeks here. And I also want to expose Josh to more and more situations, key moments like that where you know, he's got the ball in his hand, and we can go through those because he'll grow through those experiences. And then the last one to win the game, it's fourth and inches. And look, we've got a big quarterback, and if we can't get an inch, then we don't deserve to win the game.
Right. Was he insistent about going for it? Like, what was there an interaction there where he's like, just give me the ball, I got this?
At the end of the game?
Yeah.
Yeah, he wanted the ball in his hands, and I appreciate the fact that he wants that. That's the type of young man he is, the type of competitor that he is, and you know, when you're looking at quarterbacks, that's one of the things we saw, Brandon and myself and the scouting department, that, you know, he's a highly competitive young man and doesn't shy away from those confrontations.
All right, our thanks to the coach. That's a wrap for us today. Sneaky Joe has got a small portion of the nightcap coming up, and then it's Monday Night Football. We'll talk to you tomorrow at 3 from 716 Sabres and Panthers. Jason Bottrell on the show tomorrow at 5:30.